Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. In the studio today, fella I just met actually very recently, working at an event with Julie Reiner, the Googamooga Festival, which got rained out. It's the first time we met. And welcome to the show, Abe Hawkins from Dutch Kills in New York City.
Thank you, Damon. It's a shame you had to meet me when I was taking a nap. but good to meet you anyway.
Yeah, right on, man. So, dude, let's start, man. Like, tell me about yourself, man. I know I just met you recently through, like, Jane Warren and the gang and Richie at Dutch Kills. How did you get hooked up with these guys?
Well, I used to work at a cafe in the West Village with a lot of people who are still my best friends and many of them who have gone on to work in the bars with me and stopped working in the bars with me also. Place was called The Grey Dog, and it was right down the street from what eventually became Little Branch. When I first started working there, it was a really weird tranny bar that was kind of a basement dungeon. And then I went out of town for a year and came back, and it was Little Branch, which I fell in love with, and we were all pretty big regulars there, all the cafe crowd. So I got to know all the guys that way and was drinking there for many years before Richie opened Dutch Kills and asked if I wanted to work there. So I was one of the first two people to work there, and in the early days it was just me 6-7 days a week with Giuseppe Gonzalez and Richie.
Nice. It's cool to have, like, you know, Giuseppe's been on, Jan's been on. I haven't had Richie on yet, which is weird. Karen Stanley's been on, so it seems like a very cool crew. I like all you guys quite a bit.
Yeah, they're great people.
Yeah. We were just talking right before we went on the air, like, about motorcycles, and it's funny because we're going to be talking. We have a show about drinks, and we're about to start talking about motorcycles. But it's funny to me. Like another person who used to work at Dutch Kills, Rob Fuentevilla.
Oh yeah,
he also rides, and then Richie rides. Joe Santos from Brooklyn General. There's totally a bunch of people in the industry that ride. I think it's probably a good thing that we have the option of being on two wheels, because that gives us an excuse to not be on two drinks. You know?
Yeah, totally. Man, those guys, I'm kind of embarrassed to ride with a lot of them. I mean, Richie's got one of the sweetest bikes I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Joe Santos has a great bike. You know, I'm kind of, I'm basically riding a moped next to those guys, even though it's a huge moped.
Yeah.
So
I think there's similarities between, to me, I always talk about music and bartending, you know, crafting cocktails, kind of like, they're kind of similar art forms, you know, like, especially because you can get a lot of inspiration from, you know, like, song ideas and lyrics and albums and stuff, and that'll give you ideas for, you know, making cocktails. But I, you know, something we actually haven't talked about on the show until now, it's about motorcycles. And, like, I don't know, when I was a kid, like, checking out, like, custom bikes and like seeing the process of, like, building, like, classic cars and stuff, it's very much like a musical kind of thing, and very much like, kind of reminds me a lot of, like, crafting cocktails in the same way. And I know that's a weird stretch, but it all, you start building from the ground up, you know, and then you end up with this beautiful thing.
I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, I think maybe, you know, mechanics and music have an overlap with drinking and drink making in a completely different way. You know, there's a love for it and a craft, and you really are building something, and so that's where the similarity lies there. But with music, I guess the overlap in my mind would be, you know, there's an element of connecting to people, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the whole bartending side, you know, which is really different from the craft of it.
I definitely agree that the craft of bartending and making drinks is definitely different from actually bartending and hosting, you know, and entertaining your guests. That's definitely true. And there are some people that are really good at both, and some people that can only do one or the other. It's nice when it all clicks.
Yeah, well, all the skill sets are really thrilling to see done excellently.
Yeah.
You know, I love a bartender who can't make a drink, but can make me smile.
Exactly, man.
I just don't want to drink his drinks too much. You know?
Yeah.
or I do.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know.
Yep.
Win a rope. Yeah, but, so, okay, you worked at Grey Dog in the West Village. Actually, one of my old roommates worked there.
Oh, yeah?
Funny.
Yeah. I probably drank him under the table once or twice.
Probably.
Yeah.
So, you went from the cafe to Little Branch.
Yeah. It was actually a perfect transition, you know, like, I'd been working at Grey Dog for 6 years, you know, I was pretty burnt out. I mean, I loved it and still treasure the memories of it, but I was there for a little too long probably, and, you know, so I was on my way out, and I was training at Little Branch for a while, and my training was awesome, you know, and nobody has the luxury of having this kind of training anymore. Basically, what I did is I worked on Saturdays. And I could get whatever schedule I wanted there. That was one of the beautiful things about working at the cafe. So I would ask to open manage Saturdays. So I'd get there at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. I'd leave at 3, and then I'd go straight to Little Branch, cut ice, and then all night just hang out by the service bar. Richie would be working, and he gave me the Little Branch spec book, and I just looked through it, and, you know, I was like, make me this, make me this, make me this. I just watch him ask questions. He'd talk at me, and I did that for 3 months or something before I started working there at all. Which was awesome. You know, I just like sit there and like drink 15 drinks. I still think that one of the reasons that they hired me was because they saw me drink way more than I should be able to drink and still walk straight, you know, and like keep my composure. You know, I remember the first time I went to Milk and Honey, Richie was like, yeah, so come see me at Milk and Honey tonight, you know. So I went down there and I was really embarrassed because it was like a, you know, just a different scene than I was used to. You know, I was used to, you know, something else. So I went down there, and I swear, like, none of the guys said two words to me the whole time. I just sat there, and, like, they were all, like, busy, and so I just sat there and drank, and I drank 10, 12 drinks or something, and then I was like, well, guess I'm gonna go, guys. And they were like, okay, I'll see you, see you. And I think it was a test in some way to see how it handled it. Pretty weird, but that's how it was.
Everyone's got their training protocol, you know.
Yeah. Oh, but my training was great. I loved it. It was so much fun, you know. I remember the first time I ever had an egg white drink. I was looking through the Little Branch spec book, which is one of my favorite compendiums of recipes ever. It's so simple. Everything is there, but it's just like the choices are so weird, the things that are left out and the things that are in there. You know, so I'd never had an egg white drink, and I was looking through it, and I was like, Richie, make me a Silver Bronx. That was in the book. And he stopped what he was doing. It was a busy night. He, like, put everything down. He looked at me real serious, and he said, what the fuck do you want one of those for? And I was like, I don't know. I just want to try something with egg whites. So he was like, I'll make you something with egg whites. You don't want to drink that shit. Yeah.
You got a pretty good Rich Picado.
Oh, I've had plenty of time to hone it. Yeah, he's a good guy to make an impression of.
Yeah.
He's a character.
So is Jane Waring. Talk really loud and really fast. And
I'm going to go finger fuck my asshole. That's what he says when he's going to smoke a cigarette. Can I say that on?
Yeah. All right. I mean, you already did, so.
Cool.
Please. Sweet. So, okay, from Little Branch, then you made your way over to Dutch Kills. And so, like you said before, you were working basically like 6 days a week, opening the bar. And I don't know, like, I always love that feeling of like opening up a new place because like you end up like working your ass off, and then, like, but the payoff is, like, so great, man.
Oh, it's totally amazing. I mean, I still feel to this day just immensely proud of Dutch Kills. You know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, my baby. Not that I own it or anything, but I really, you know, I'm proud of the work I did and the results that it's yielded. You know, like, everything that we've done there is excellent, and I love it. I love the guys that work there and the guys that have worked there, and just the, you know, the feeling that we have about each other and about, like, what we're doing together, it's like we're really on the same page there, you know? It's great. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Nice. And you guys recently just started, like, getting really heavily back into the classics after doing a lot of, like, your proprietary cocktail recipes and stuff. I think that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the last menu before this one was all originals. It was all house originals, which is a cool thing, you know? But also the menu there is kind of a formality, and I think that of all the bars, you know, we're all kind of bartender's choice bars.
Yeah.
But Dutch Kills more than any of the places, you know? And I don't know why that is. I guess it's partly because of the guys that work there and, that's what's fun and interesting for us. And also, it's the way that we found to most effectively engage our guests and to kind of do what it is that we're really doing, which is being kind of the translators between their understanding of what it is to drink cocktails and our understanding of what it is to make them for them. So the bartender's choice is really, I'd say, 85% of the drinks we make there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. I mean, at least at the bar, you know? So.
Like, at my bar, like, people order, like, drinks from the menu, like, I would say 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel really great, you know, because it's like, cool, absolutely, man. You like the drinks.
Especially if they come back for another one, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Let's talk about Hawaiian shirts for a second.
Okay.
You were telling me right before the show that you got the hookup on Hawaiian shirts now. And I haven't worn a Hawaiian shirt since 2 days ago. So I need to, like, I only have one, so I can't, it can't be in, like, heavy enough rotation. But God damn it, this is a really hot summer, and I need to figure out where to get these, man.
Well, I went to this thrift store called Unique in the Fulton Mall, and I go there about twice a year, and every time I go there, it just blows my mind. It's like three stories. They have enormous sections of everything, and their stock is always completely different. They have a knick-knack section where you can get things for dollhouses and old weird guitar components, just all kinds of crap. And then in the basement, it's toys and women's clothing, and it's really true, actually, toys and women's clothing together. And, you know, they have houseware stuff, glassware, just clothes, drapes, everything you could imagine is in this place. But every time I go, I notice something different, you know, and this time, last time I went to get shorts, because, like you say, it's hot as hell, and I needed to get a couple pairs of shorts to replace the threadbare ones that I've been rocking pretty constantly. So I got a couple pairs, and I looked up, and there were just 300 beautiful Hawaiian shirts on a rack. So I looked through them for an hour and picked out my two favorite. I should have gotten three or four. I could have easily broke the bank at that place getting some shirts. But I love Hawaiians. It's really, they're fun. You know, I remember when Painkiller first opened, I was really excited about it. You know, not being super versed in the tiki stuff, it just seemed like it was going to be a really fun place. And so I got a couple Hawaiian shirts just, you know, for fun. One, which is still one of my favorite shirts, it's got pineapples all over it. Pineapples and pineapple slices and wedges. And so I've been rocking it ever since. I also have some pretty great memories of being sweaty and nasty on beaches in Hawaiian shirts. At Richie's wedding, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, wow. I don't know if I should even tell the real story. God.
Dude, I, like, when Painkiller opened up, I had one Hawaiian shirt in my rotation. And I remember wearing it there, like, twice, the same shirt twice, like, for the first time I went there. And I completely lost it. Like, I think it was, like, in the middle of the, I think it was, like, last summer. How long has that place been open now? 2 years?
2 years, yeah, I'd say.
It must have been two
and change,
ago.
Maybe.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I took it off in the subway and then, like, lost it on the way home. Which I don't understand why I was taking the subway after going to Painkiller, because that's just...
And why were you taking the subway shirtless? I mean,
I had the shirt on. But it was so hot in the subway. And I was like all I wanted to do was get home, man.
You should have known when they saw the empty car, all the other ones were full. Like, that one's the one with the broken AC.
Exactly. God damn it. You're very wise, Abe.
Oh, thanks, Damon.
I mean, like, you know, a place I was actually at a few days ago, I was down at Fort Defiance, and I love Sinjin and the crew. They constantly wear Hawaiian shirts, too. I think that's pretty awesome. Sinjin's been doing that for years, though, man.
Yeah.
It's not like a dress code for his bar, you know.
Yeah,
he really just pulls it off, man.
Yeah, I mean, I started wearing Hawaiians, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. I was in North Carolina in Asheville visiting a good buddy of mine, and I went to this Goodwill Depot. Have you ever seen one of these places where they just constantly wheel out carts full of unorganized shit? It's just, you know, toys and clothes and everything just all together, and you dig through it and you pay by the pound.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I got my first real Hawaiian shirt there, and also this really cute little blue bow tie that's on an elastic string that you can, like, wear around your neck. It's like a total comedy bow tie, you know? It's, like, 2 inches across. It's pretty great.
Well, it's some pretty good conversation we're having here today. Let's take a quick break, Abe, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Abe Hawkins on the Speakeasy.
To the preacher, said I'm a man of sin. Still instilled in me the fear of God, but all he was a man, and I'm going down.
You are listening to Man of Sin by Brothers NYC. Keep it locked for more of the Speakeasy here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Yeah, I did it then. Lord knows I'd do it again. I'm going down. So I went to my sister, saw what he had done.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
And we are back. You're listening to Speakeasy in the studio to the day. To the day,
I tell you.
We have Abe Hawkins from Dutch Kills in New York City. In Long Island City, that is. And we were just talking about Hawaiian shirts. We got a little sidetracked. You get me talking about Hawaiian shirts and different ephemera that goes really well at different cocktail parties, then I might keep talking about it for a while.
It hides vomit, you know, these complicated patterns.
It hides vomit.
Patterns.
I mean, they kind of look like vomit already.
It's the perfect thing to wear to a tiki bar, you know?
Because, especially like place like Painkiller.
Oh, gosh.
Because you might end up soiling yourself.
You know, I've been working there Mondays, and I'm really, really glad that I've been given the opportunity to do it. It's really fun, and I've been having a great time. Like everyone, I'm sad that it's going to be closing. But, man, those guys that have been working there for time, they must have the thickest book of dirt stories on every bartender in town, because that is where people go to embarrass themselves, like bartenders. You know, They go there to act a fool and drink buckets of rum.
Yeah.
I've heard some stories.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if we should tell any of them.
Oh, no. I want to let everyone know that I've got
them. I wouldn't want anyone telling my story. I do remember a couple of times being in there and just like running into other people and just kind of like covering your face and be like, we'll talk about this in the AM, my man.
Yep. I know what you did last summer.
So what's the deal? I mean, can you talk about is it closing down and moving somewhere? Like,
I don't think they're looking for a new space now. You know, my sense is that, I mean, there are definitely landlord issues. There's always been like, you know, drama here and there. I think they started off on a bad foot, you know, taking over a lease that had money owed, and so they started in the red. And I think everybody who's been, you know, troop on the ground there, they just need a break, I think. And although everyone's really sad it's closing, I think it's going to be good for the champs to, you know, take a step back and, you know,
decompress a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've just worked their tails off for a long time now, so yeah. They deserve it. They deserve a vacation. And the talent that they have, I mean, it's not something that's ever going to go away. And, you know, I think that location for Painkiller was a real era, time and a place. And if and when it does open in another form, in another place, it's only going to be that much better for the guys having a chance to kind of relax a little bit and think about, you know, how they want to focus their talents, which are immense. Their talents are just unbelievable.
Yeah, and plus, like, you get a chance to, like, kind of reevaluate, you know, maybe tighten some things up here, maybe, like, you know, move some stuff around, figure, you know, like, kind of re-coordinate the bar and, like, kind of learn from some, you know, even like restrictions as far as like where the power outlets were, you know, and like where the blender went,
and how high the stools are.
Yeah, that's the main one.
Yeah, that's the main complaint there.
Yeah.
People don't say, oh, yeah, you fed me a bucket of rum, I almost died. They say, oh, the stools were really high.
Yeah, exactly. God damn it. Yeah, there was several occasions where it's like, why am I chugging? Why are you forcing me to chug a frozen drink out of a pineapple right now?
Then the real question is, why are you agreeing to it? You know, everybody exactly. agrees to it. That's the magic of that place. Like, people lose the ability to say no. Ugh. I love it. I love that place.
I do too.
Yeah.
I want to go there after this.
Let's go.
I have to play a show tonight.
Oh. Just one drink. We can chug it and just be gone. It's fine. We'll think about it. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
My bandmates might be listening.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're not going to come with me. That's fine.
I'm going to church after this, bro.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, speaking of that, not church, but... okay, so hot days like today, what do you like to drink?
Micheladas.
Yeah?
I can't help it.
You go for the beer cocktails?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always a daiquiri drinker. You know, that's kind of what I drink. Pineapple mm-hmm. daiquiris particularly, oh, yeah. if there's fresh pineapple juice about. But... yeah, I mean, for years I've drank Micheladas. Before I was working in bars, that's what I drank. It's this dreamy drink that makes you thirsty and quenches your thirst at the same time. It's just really, really, really
good. You could open a bar just basically making Micheladas and just keep just killing it.
Yeah, I used to get them at a place down from my old apartment, and my roommate and I, we kind of became famous for going in there and drinking too many Micheladas 4 times a week.
Oh, man.
It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, going back to the daiquiri thing, man, I fucking love daiquiris, man. Especially, oh, like best. You said, pineapple daiquiris. It's funny to me, like, actually, the last time I was in Dutch Kills, I think it was the last time I was in there, Jan made me a pineapple daiquiri, and he's like, dude, this is just, like, the best drink in the world. I'm like, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. But it's funny to me how so many people still have, even, like, with... the way that the classic cocktail bars have come back around over the past decade, and how people are so, like, much better educated on classics like Manhattans, old fashions, martinis. For some reason, you know, still you hear the word daiquiri, and everyone has that, like, red frozen drink in a hurricane glass, you know, idea that comes to mind, you know, that picture that pops up in your head, and you're like, fuck that, I don't want like frozen sugar in a glass. But God, it's the one of the greatest drinks. It's so
well, yeah, I mean, first of all, frozen sugar in a glass is okay too from time to time, but yeah, I mean, daiquiri is my test drink. You know, when I go to a bar, I'll get a daiquiri, a Manhattan, or an old fashioned, and then seeing how that drink is made at the bar, I know everything there is to know about, you know, how they do things there. You know, it's like, it is the most simple, stripped-down thing, and because of that, it's the hardest to make perfectly. There's nothing to hide behind. There's no flash. There's no, you know, complex list of ingredients in the drink. It's just 3 ingredients, you know. But it's also a drink that is made very differently at different bars, you know, proportions, but also hard sugar or simple syrup. How do you make the simple syrup, blah, blah, blah.
What sugars are you using in the simple syrup?
Yep.
What rum are you using, or combinations of rum?
Yeah.
Even.
I mean, I love the Petrosky daiquiri. I like the whole Petrosky system. It's so brilliant, you know? Like what he's done. He's such a Tom Bombadil of cocktails, that guy.
What's the Petrosky daiquiri?
It's 1 ounce lime, 3/4 simple, 2 rum. Shaken up. Simple.
That's how I do them, too.
Yeah,
nice.
Totally. Yeah.
Pat on the back, Damon.
Yeah, man. I love it.
Or even, like, a nice, like, really grassy, like, Martinique rum with a little bit of nutmeg on it. Man, there's so many variations you could do, man.
It's not an agricole fan.
Get out.
I can't stand it. It's weird. But also, first of all, I gotta take a little credit for this pineapple daiquiri thing. That is totally my doing, 100%.
Yeah?
Like, when we first started getting pineapple juice at Dutch Kills, one day I was just thinking, man, how can I make a pineapple daiquiri? And then I played with it till I got my, you know, my favorite little speck, and then I just started pushing them on everybody. And I drank, you know, I'm not going to say how many, but too many a night. And everyone else started drinking them, and now it's like a phenomenon in the bars. Everybody's drinking pineapple daiquiris. I love it.
Well, that's great, man. It's great that you're actually pushing that and, like, getting some credit for the revival of the daiquiri, you know?
Oh, well, not the daiquiri. I mean, the daiquiri's,
you know, somewhere close to it.
Well, it was also really helpful because, you know, one of the questions you get all the time, especially at a bartender's choice kind of bar, is, you know, what's your favorite drink? And I'm always kind of at a loss. It's one of those things where I'm like, you know, because first of all, it's like it doesn't really matter what my favorite drink is.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be drinking the drink I'm making for somebody. But it's really nice to be able to say pineapple daiquiri right off the bat. They don't even have to finish the sentence. Pineapple daiquiri is my favorite drink. And it's kind of true. I mean, that's what I drink by far the most of. And yeah. It's great.
I love the question, what do you like to make?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I guess I am participating in this. You know, ask you what your favorite drink is.
Well, what do you say?
It's like, I mean, what, like, technically, what do I like to make? Like, what?
Well, yeah, so I'm sitting at your bar. What do you like to make, Damon?
Like, I'm not going to make you, like, I like playing with fire.
Excuse me? You're not going to make me a flame with fire?
No, shut up. I'm not going to make you a blue blazer in the middle of the summer, so it'd be coming right now. I mean, I like playing with fire.
Oh, but, all right.
But, you know.
You should work a painkiller, man.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I got to get in a guest shift before the end, man. But, yeah, what's your favorite drink to make? I mean, what's your favorite drink to make?
Glass of water. When my arms are tired, I mean, man, it's like the most satisfying drink to make. It's also, that's my other go-to answer for what's your favorite drink.
Water. Yeah. Yeah, I always quote Gandhi, but I misquote. You know, the quote of, water is the only drink for a wise man.
Oh.
And then I'll be like, you know, Chewbacca said that. People like that. I think. They probably don't, actually.
Man, you speak Wookiee?
Yeah. That's not Wookiee. That's 3 a.m.
That's Yoda.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, like, it's just kind of a, and when you start talking about, like, different techniques of, like actually producing drinks, you know, like, what is your actual favorite one to make, like, physically make?
Well, I don't know. If I have the wherewithal, I tell people that, you know, my favorite thing to make is the drink that somebody wants to drink. You know, I like to make people happy. There's nothing I don't want to make. I'll make a Ramos. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make people happy. And so it's just a way to restart that conversation, you know. Like, what is it that you like to drink? You know?
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, you know, at Dutch Kills and at the cocktail bars, you know. If you're doing Bartender's Choice, then basically what that is, you know, it's helping other people explore their own tastes in an informed way, guiding them through the experience.
Yeah.
You know, letting them have some input, you know.
Especially, like, when people order Bartender's Choice when they're not necessarily cocktail drinkers. Like, it might be, a beer drinker or a wine drinker. And then, you know, you can do, say, make something like a Michelada. Like, if somebody just drinks, you know, Keystone Light from El Reno, Oklahoma, that you bought a motorcycle off of, which you actually did. I don't drink cocktails, but I love beer. And they're like, well, let me show you. Have you ever had a Michelada? It's like, boom. Then you've got them, like, kind of already hooked into, like, getting something that's, like, an actual mixed drink, you know?
Or
tricking them into drinking cocktails.
Or I don't drink cocktails. I drink beer. And then making them, you know, some crazy fruity drink on crushed ice with, like, a fruit salad garnish.
It's exactly what I was going after.
Man. I mean, yeah. So often, though, people get it and they're like, man, I never would have thought. I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hell, man. I guess, when's your next ship? I'm going to come order some Rainbow Gin Fizzes.
I'm working tomorrow.
Yeah. All right.
At Dutch Kills. Dutch Kills, yeah.
You got it, man. Abe, it was so great having you on the show, man.
It was really great having me on the show, too.
Can't wait to have you back, man.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check in next week. It'll be the 99th show. We're working up to 100 episodes in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned. We'll be having a big-ass party for that.
Sweet.
All right, cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.